This is Lisa Smith, and I'm interviewing Ann Kovach on Wednesday, November 14th, 2001, at her residence. Please state your full name and spell your last name.
It's Annie M. Marie Kovach, K-O-V as in Victor, A-C-H.
Okay, and?
My birth date is May 27th, 1926. I was born at 837 Pacific Avenue in Granite City, Illinois.
All right, and please tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay, I come from a family of five girls. Mother and father came from Hungary. Father came here in 1906. He arrived at Ellis Island. And my mother arrived here in 1913. And I have the name of the towns, but that's neither here nor there. But they were married in Akron, Ohio in 1916. And I had two sisters born in Vestburg, Pennsylvania. Lisbeth, who it was in 1917, Julia in 1918, and I had a sister born in Eleanor, Pennsylvania in 1919. Another sister and myself were both born here in Granite City. She was born in 1921 and myself in 1926. I believe we moved to Granite City in 1921. From records that I have seen from another relative, my parents, not my mother, but my father at one time lived in Benison, Madison, Illinois. I can't really say when they came to Granite City. I'm assuming since my sister was born in 1921, it had to be maybe a year or so before that. And we lived in this little duplex house on Pacific Avenue, which is now Niedring House Avenue. I can remember or heard the streets were all cobblestone. And then they were paved later, I don't know how many years after that. My father worked at the Commonwealth, which was became General Steel Castings. And then, of course, the Depression came along. And my mother went to work. At that time, I couldn't understand. Well, I was too young and too much to understand but why the men didn't get the jobs instead of the women, you know. But Mom was a dipper, and she made that cup right there. She was doing that, and my father was a chipper, and I don't know when he retired. I can't say too much about that, but anyway, growing up, wonderful times in what was known as Lincoln Place, after Hungry Hollow. It was known as Hungry Hollow. I never knew why they named it that, but some of the people didn't like it, so then they named it Lincoln Place, and we had the clubhouse, which was just wonderful. I believe it was a Mr. Howard who had the was owner of the Commonwealth, a General Steel Castings, and I understand he had the building put up, and he furnished everything for us. We had a wonderful playground. We had Sunday school classes. We had Bible school classes in the summer, and if you didn't participate in Bible school classes in the summer, you weren't to participate almost in anything else. And really, the kids from Lincoln Place were the only ones that had advantage of that clubhouse down there. We had the neighborhood of West Granite, but none of the children from there came. And it was just for us, more or less. And I learned to sew down there. I made my first piece of embroidery work, which the lady, Miss Fraser, was in charge. And she was a strict person. She was good. She was strict, and she gave me one skein of thread out of six, and I had to do this piece, one skein of thread. Never do that. But anyway, she was very good about it, and the boys, I learned to sew. I learned to quilt. I made a quilt, a little Dutch girl quilt, while I was there, and I sewed a dress, and then we had exhibits, like in September before school would start, we had these exhibits. We had the stage there, and we put on the programs, and everything was exhibited. Everything that everyone made through the summer months were put on exhibit. And you got ribbons or whatever. And they also had tournaments, and the boys had marble tournaments. The girls had jacks and balls. And I came in first on the tournament, and my gift was a red work man's work handkerchief. That was my gift. use them for scarves, you know, head scarves at that time or anything else, but I can remember that so well. And we had, during our Bible school for the summer, it was 2 weeks, you had to learn certain scriptures out of the Bible, and you had to remember the books and all that, and we had crowns. And every time we remembered something out of the Bible, we had a program, and every time we remembered something out of that Bible, you got a star on your crown, and there were so many squares that you had to fill out. And after those squares, if you filled the whole all the squares out on this crown, you got a Bible. And I received a Bible from a Mr. Tate, who owned a funeral parlor across on State Street. I can remember that, across from St. Joseph's Church. And that's where I got my first Bible. My mother always saw to it that we went to Sunday school on Sunday. Father was Catholic, mother was Protestant. But she more or less did everything the Catholic way, you know. But she saw to it that we went to Sunday school. We didn't go to church. So it was all denominations, really. So you had, all ethnic people. The Macedonians, Bulgarians, we had a Greek family there, we had a German family, we had the Mexicans, and then, of course, the Armenians, and the Hungarians, and everybody knew everyone else down there. It was just wonderful. You knew all the kids that you grew up with. And we had, all of us had gone to the Washington School, which is in West Granite, and they finished, and then went on to Central School. My sisters did, my four sisters. But I was the only one out of it. The family that went to high school, I was the only one. At that time, they couldn't afford it. The kids were quitting school and going to work. Mm-hmm. And my dad wasn't working. And then we had what you call the Hungarian home down there. And we had picnics. We had dances. We had, we had a festival, which they called the Great Festival. And they hung up all these packaged fruits, cellophane wrapped fruits, all different kinds, up on these wires that were strung on the ceiling. And the girls were dressed in their Hungarian dresses, and the boys were out there, and they had the dance, and you'd be out there dancing, and the guys, if you caught one of the guys pulling a piece of fruit off a wire, then you got to grab him, and he had to pay for it. And I don't get the drift of whether they had to pay what they did with that or if the girl danced with him or that, but I can remember having those great festivals like that. And during our picnics, they had a contest, the prettiest Hungarian girl, which my eldest sister was in, and she was the prettiest, even though she's my sister, I know. But well, the way you got to win first, second, and third place was you sold tickets. And whoever sold the most tickets, that's how you came in, you know. Well, if you didn't have any money, you know, mothers and fathers bought a lot of tickets. So anyway, but that was fun too, and it was really nice. And three of us girls got married, had our weddings there at this Hungarian home. And it's just so much fun. And, I don't know, and playing with the kids when I was young, too. I can remember the Commonwealth at 9 o'clock blew a whistle. That meant everybody was to go home. All the kids were supposed to be at home by 9 o'clock. I believe that was the Commonwealth that did that. And we had all sorts of factories around here, and I don't know how much more, you know, what I can think about to really say other than having this Hungarian hall and the clubhouse and all the different nationalities, and the people just mixed so well together, kids going to school. I can remember my sisters telling me Illinois Terminal used to come with the bus down there, and my mother would give my sisters, each got a nickel, and they were dressed up on Sunday, and they'd get on the bus, and the driver would take them on his rounds. And then he'd bring the girls back and then let them off on the corner there where we live. And the grocery stores, we had a wonderful grocer. Everybody being like, some families, they were lucky their parents, their father maybe worked a couple of days a week or whatever. But we had this grocer, and I know we had a bill with him, but Mr. Abe Missa, and he was wonderful. And Dad got groceries from him, and he would send home every time Mom would go or Dad go, usually Mom would go and pay the bill. He did that every 2 weeks on payday. And there for a while, they couldn't. And but he would send us two little bags of candy home for us five girls. And Friday night, that'd be like on the weekend, you know. And then Friday night, my dad would go play cards at the Hungarian home. And they played, well, for coins, and they had what they called chips. And I don't know if they were any more than worth a nickel, but he used to bring candy bars home for us if he won any of the chips, you know. And that was a good time. I can remember a lot of good times down there with everyone. And we had girls who'd come over, and Mom would make bread, and she'd do this on a Friday, or my oldest sister would bake bread, and we had friends that would come over, and she'd always want the crust of the bread, you know, because we had the homemade bread. And at Easter, the Hungarians, it was a custom, the day after Easter, the boys would have bottles filled with perfumed water. And I don't know where they got the perfume, but they'd be filled with water, and they were sprinkling bottles. And they would go around to the girls' homes and sprinkle them. And if they caught them, they were supposed to get a kiss from the girl, you know, if they sprinkled them. Tuesday was supposed to be the girls' day, but they didn't get to do it because we had to go back to school on Tuesday. And I can remember, as a child, too, we lived in three rooms. There were seven of us living in three rooms. We had no living room. That was Mom and Dad's room. In the winter, they closed off the one room and they moved their bed into the kitchen.
Yes.
And then my sisters and I, we had the middle room. And at Christmas, I can remember people coming over and they'd play cards, but they'd play with mixed nuts, usually walnuts though. They played with walnuts. And it was like bunny, you know. And our stockings would be hanging from the cook stove over to one of the doors on the ceiling, you know. And that's where we'd have our stocking hung, and we'd get an orange and an apple and nuts in there. There were no ties. One year, I can remember, I must have been maybe eight. I got the first prettiest doll. I couldn't see it, our Christmas tree. Dad always saw to it we got a Christmas tree. And that was in that front bedroom of theirs, which had the door shut because you couldn't afford to heat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I peeked through a keyhole to look at the Christmas tree. And I saw this beautiful doll there dressed like a little girl, you know. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. excitement, you know. And I don't know, we didn't have school quite often in the winter because the weather was so bad. We had so much more snow and ice back then when I was little than we do now. It's unbelievable how many days. The snow might last from November through February. We had snow all the time, and we walked to school from Lincoln Place to West Granite. Maybe, I don't know if it was a mile or not, but I mean, it was cold. And we used to walk in groups because at that time where the Union Starch used to be, it wasn't fenced in and there were no trees, so this was all out in the open. So when the cold wind would blow, you know, you didn't have any protection to walk. And I could see the teachers when we'd get to school, some of the kids that came and didn't have gloves, and she would run their hands into the water. And we used to have a sink in the room.
Hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that one out as I got older. It comes back to me now because I can remember seeing her washing the girls' hands, you know, trying to warm them up and that. And, I don't know, let's see, what else was going on? I have to look through my pages here.
How was school for you? What type of subjects did they teach you in school?
That aren't basics, really. In grade school, the first to the sixth grade, I went to Washington School. We did. And they were just the basic lessons. there. Math, spelling, reading, geography, history. And school was really good. All we needed was a tablet and pencil and went to school. Everything else was furnished, the crayons, the construction paper. We did have art. And the art was we made things. At Christmas we made these little houses where the doors and the windows open, and they had cellophane on the windows. And you colored whatever you wanted, whatever colors, you know, you did in there. And you never had to bring any supplies from home. And we had activities. I can remember being in gym, and I couldn't, this I still can't figure out why, but we had a wired fence like in the room where the gym was. The gym separated from the lunchroom. I can still see that, but I don't remember why that was separated like that. But we never had to take, our books were all furnished for us. We never had to buy them. We had milk every day for 3 cents. You got a carton of milk. So chocolate was my favorite. So every day my father gave me enough for the week. And we'd give that to the teacher, and we'd have milk every day. My music lesson was a harmonica, which we paid 45 cents for.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, yes. And so I had lessons on the harmonica while I was at school. And I'm trying to think what else was in school. And we also had programs, because I can remember being in a couple of dances. We had gym. But I can remember we had programs at school. It must have been Halloween and Christmas. I can remember one Halloween we had this play. We had a beautiful stage there. We had this play, and all us kids were dressed as sunflowers, and we had the pumpkins and everything that were up there. And this one classmate, a boy classmate, he had a beard. He was backstage, was holding this pumpkin that was lit. He had a candle in it. It was lit, and his beard caught fire in there. But it was so funny. But of course, that was bad, you know. But we sang songs with that, and you did little dances on that. It was a skit. It was a Halloween skit. And I can remember being a soldier. Our parents made our costumes for us, whatever they could find. And I was a top at one time, and that was real cute. It was really cute. But we had tumbling, and more or less tumbling and games in the gym. And then from there on, I went on to Central School. Well, there you got a little bit harder. And then I went on, that was 2 years. And that's about all I can remember from there, other than not going to school, which was good. You know, got to stay at home. We'd sit around the coal stove in the middle room, and there too, my oldest sister, she was taking care of us. You know, we were all at home. And she noticed that the heat was going down in this coal stove. Well, she put a little coal oil on it. You know what happened. Poof, you know. Her eyelashes burnt, her eyebrows burnt. She was very fortunate that was all that happened to her. Oh, my father was so upset, you know, so upset with it. But, and during the time, too, in the summer, we used to walk to the levee. We had the road from down there. There were no homes out there, and it was just beautiful. On both sides of this road, it was just lined with trees, just big trees, all this shade, and it was pretty. And we walked to what we called the levee, just out walking, and just looking out over the water and that. And we did have a flood one year, and I can remember walking on top of the levee, and it looked like that water was just ready to come over, which would have flooded. And I think at one Lincoln Place did get flooded. But I don't remember that. I just remember walking on the levee. We were lucky that it didn't overflow. The river didn't overflow. And then the depot came along. Mm-hmm. And they built the Grand City Army Depot, which was good for us. And they, one year there too, then in high school, we got to work 4 hours after school at the depot, and we worked out 8 hours on Saturday, which was good. There were so many of us that got to do that. That was good experience for us. Your grades had to be up to par. You didn't have to be a grade A student or that, you know, and you got to work there. And that was nice. And there was another time where we were almost flooded, and they thought the levee was going to break. There was leaks in it. So we would work during the night and hire in people to come in to fill sandbags. And I worked all night, several nights, to register people coming in to fill sandbags. So we were fortunate with the depot there because they fought it. Otherwise, we'd have probably been, flooded. And I have pictures of where the streets were flooded down there when we'd have a big rain. I have pictures standing out in the middle of the street, and then my mother and the neighbor were all standing out there and to show how deep the water is. And you could have some of the young fellows would get into a boat and ride this, use the oars and go with the boat out into the fields that were flooded.
Oh, my.
And, oh, gosh, there's so many things that really happened down there. Oh, let me see what I can last. I got about Washington School, Central School, and Commonwealth. Mom working there. That was another thing. I said my dad used to go, my mother worked shift work. And Dad, we used to go walk. Of course, we had to go across the tracks, Lincoln Place, and the upper class across the tracks, And Dad would go and wait for her, walk her home at night. That was hard for him to think that, she was working and he wasn't. And my oldest sister took care of the house, and she did the cooking. And another thing we did at Easter is we had a special noodle that we made, and that was we had chicken soup was a big thing at our house on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And so on Easter, us girls would sit down, and Mom would roll out the noodles, and she'd cut them in like inch squares or inch and a fourth squares. And we had this little gadget, a little board, and we had another little, well, it looked like a similar to a pencil, but it was shaped with a point on it. And you would put that down on this square noodle individually, on that square noodle, and you would roll that, and it would make a ridge like a shell. And that's what we do. It would take us all afternoon to do that. But that we would only do that at Easter. And so that was part of our Hungarian heritage, and with Mom making strudel and that, and making sure you don't get a hole in the strudel dough as you're stretching it. Where today you can buy phyllo dough or phyllo, however you say it. And that was another thing we did at Easter besides the eggs. And birthday cakes. I don't remember ever having a party, but Mom made the cake, and no recipes and no box cakes or nothing. I mean, she just by feel, and she made our cakes like that, nice, and they were really pretty. And our pastries, we make a three-decker pastry. It's a cookie. You cut it in diamond shapes, and that's on all holidays, especially Christmas, I make them, and I'm not making too many of them anymore. It's a lot of work, and I don't know anybody's going to make them after I'm gone, because with the girls, they're my daughter-in-laws, and everybody's working, and I just don't make them, and so I don't know. They look forward to Christmas wanting to know I'm going to make these cookies, and I make cutout cookies, and then we have what's called the nut roll and the poppy seed roll. You can buy those in bakeries now, but they're very good. And I'm trying to think what else would give interest.
Was there any certain Hungarian dish that you remember the most that you liked?
Yes, stuffed cabbage, rolled cabbage with sauerkraut.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And another one, my mother made plum dumplings. And those are delicious. You make a batter out of mashed potatoes and make a dough, a soft dough, and you put a plum, you seed this plum, it's the Danson plums, the smaller plums, not the big ones, and you seed it, take the seed out and put a spoonful of sugar in there, or you can put a cube in there today, and then you roll this dough around this plum, and you put it in boiling water for a couple minutes until it comes to the top, and you roll it in buttered brown breadcrumbs, and then you sugar it.
Oh my.
And when you cut that open, the juices just flow out from the plums.
Wow.
Yes, yes. And that in our chicken stew, very good. Our chicken soup is good, you know. And people talk about Hungarians making Hungarian goulash. I hated it. I never did like it. I think my mother, when they talk about Hungarian goulash, and I've been to restaurants where they make it, it's not what my mother made. It's more like a stew when you go out. When my mom made it, it was just the meat and potatoes and the onions, and I just never did care for it. I just don't care if that's the original goulash, because it depends on what part of the country you came from. It's just like here, north, south, everybody cooks different, you know. But I just didn't like it. And we had the noodles that we made with the square noodles again. Mm-hmm. And we saute shredded cabbage. And you brown that. And you pour that over noodles, cooked noodles. And that's very good. I like that too. And I haven't made that for a long time either. And most of my boys like a lot of the Hungarian dishes, except my youngest. And he doesn't care for a lot of it. He won't eat cabbage. But anyway, those were some of the dishes. And Mom always, and donuts, oh my goodness. She'd make this big platter. Of course, you know, there's seven of us.
Mm-hmm.
Make this big platter of donuts. And it didn't bother her if we just go ahead and we grab it off a platter, you know, and go ahead and eat it before maybe we were supposed to or whatever. But on Fridays, she followed the Good Friday, my dad being Catholic, even though he didn't go to church. But she would make a noodle for meals, and it would either be with potato noodles, or the cabbage noodles, and we had cottage cheese noodles, and she'd make a soup. Would be no meat in it. Mm-hmm. Would be green beans. It was very good. And then she made crepes. Of course, people call them crepes. We call them just pancakes. They were just plain pancakes for us. And she'd put the cottage, she'd roll them up with the cottage cheese in the centers, or jelly. My children like it with grape jelly, which isn't the tradition, I don't think, you know, for a Hungarian crepe. But that was on Fridays, too. It was anything that didn't have meat, you know. And, but, that's about as far as cooking. My sister became a very good cook, my oldest sister, because Mom worked and she took care of things. And you'd have to have talked to my the sister that was born before I was, that was here in Granite. She was so funny. We always had a lot of fun with her. And I can remember my kids, my dad would ask them to do something that they didn't want to do, because we had one of the stores here was run by some Armenians. And all the fellas from Lincoln Place would gather there. They called it Flubby's. And they'd all gather there. And of course, you'd walk down that way, and they'd either whistle or they'd, you know, make noises or whatever. But that was a good place to be, too, you know. And I started to, my mind went somewhere else. But anyway, we had to do a lot of walking. And I think. What else? I'm right now. Right. I can remember my oldest sister having to do the housework and the cooking since my mother worked. And I had one sister that she was a devil. She was the comedian of the family. She could do anything. She could do any dance step that you wanted. She was so funny. She kept us entertained. She really did. But one day my eldest sister was cleaning the house, and she had washed the kitchen floor up. And the younger one came in, and she walked across the floor. So the older one hit her on the head with a mop handle. And the younger one told her, I'm going to tell Mom that you hit me. And the older one told her, well, if you don't tell Mom, I'll give you a nickel. And another time, my father was looking for two of my sisters. He wanted fishing poles, and they used the bamboo poles. You didn't have any fancy fishing rods, I guess, back then. I don't know. But he wanted some fishing poles. So we had this Hammerman's hardware store in town, and he was hollering for my two sisters to come. They knew what he wanted. They wanted him. He wanted them to go get these fishing poles. Well, they would have had to come home and walk in front of all these guys, you know, sitting over at Blevy's carrying these fishing poles. So we were in what you call the shotgun house. It was just three rooms, but it had a porch from one end to the other. So my father was on the porch, and he would walk he came out from the kitchen in the back, walked to the front of the house, hollering for my sisters. Well, they knew what he wanted, so they were on the other side of the house. While he was walking to the front, they ran to the back. And he came back, and he went to the back. He's still hollering for them, you know. So when he came to the back, they ran to the front on the other side of the house. And he caught on to what they were doing. He fooled them. He waited. He pretended to be going to the other end of the house. And he waited, and he caught them. Mm-hmm. So they were going to have to go. Well, they did not want to go. And so he gave him the money. He told him what he wanted, a couple of rods, you know. And so they went to get a friend of theirs. I'm not going to mention her name, but they went to get a friend of hers. They said, she'll do it. She'll do it. And she did. They went over there and asked her, do you want to go with us? I believe it was Hammerman's. We got to pick up a couple of fishing poles for my dad. So she went with them, and they had her carry this rod, these poles home. So it didn't bother him. It was just like, but my sisters were good for that. The younger one, like I say, I'm the youngest, but then she was the younger one out of the four. I had one sister that could fall asleep anywhere. She was the third sister. And she could fall asleep anywhere. And we had, in the back, of course, they had sheds at that time. And that's where you kept all your junk and stuff. And Mom used to throw rags back there because in the summer, we used to have a man that would come through the alleys with a wagon, and he'd holler, rags, and well, then Mom would take whatever rags she had and give them to him, because then he would take them and sell them. And my third sister fell asleep back there one day. So the fourth one, she went back there, and she didn't like it because she was sleeping. So she hit her in the nose. And the fourth one, she was writing a history of their life. Not so much with me, because they kind of ignored me. I was the youngest one, you know, and they kind of ignored me. But she had this all written down, and I don't know what she did with it. But it's hysterical. I mean, she was really something else. And she gave my sister a bloody nose. It, you know, I mean, we used to sit around and talk about this, and then what they would do, each one had their junk box, whatever little bit of jewelry they had, you know, or maybe a pencil or a pen or just their own little personal items, and each one had one. And they, on Friday nights, Mom would be working afternoons, and my dad would go play cards. So there we all sit, and we would have enough, because at that time, my sisters had gotten a job in St. Louis, and three of them did, and they made $7.50 a week. So they gave my dad so much out of that, and then they got a streetcar fare to go to work, and they got enough for a soda every day for their lunch, because they did, you know, bag their lunch. They took a sandwich for lunch. And So that we all had a soda. They would get me a soda too that on that Friday night, and they'd all bring their boxes out and look at them, and they trade with each other for whatever was in there. You can have this, or you can have that, you know, or I'll give you this for that. And the second sister, she always ended up with whatever she traded. She still had what they gave her, but somehow or another she always got back what she gave them for trade. So, you know, they really, they kind of had fun. I mean, they talked about it and they'd laugh so much about all these little things. Like I say, they had more fun than I did. I was very quiet, believe it or not, as a child. I was very quiet. I would go with my dad sometimes to where he'd play cards, and men down there would want to give me a nickel to get a candy bar, and I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. I was shy, you know, and the quiet one. And in fact, when I got married, I moved away from down there, and I lived there for about a year, and then we moved away, and I didn't go back that much other than to see my parents and a couple of my friends from down there. But other than that, I didn't go back. Where my sisters, after they got married, one of them did live down there, and the others moved away, but then they would go and visit friends. They had clubs. They had a women's club down there, and I wish I had a picture of their Halloween party that they had. My sister, the younger one, was pregnant, and she had long johns on, men's long johns that opened in the back, and there she is, you know, with this big stomach. Of course, you know who she is, even though she's got a mask on and that, but they just looked like they just had so much fun. But see, I wasn't in on any of this. I just didn't, it didn't seem like I belonged. I was too quiet after I grew up. I didn't get into high school and that. I was just a different person. My sisters were married, and we really didn't get close until we had gotten older and we all had children. I had my children, and that's when we got close and started to really have family get-togethers and that and have fun. But when I think about my sisters, the four of them, they were so close in age, just almost a year apart, you know, 2 years apart, and growing up like that. So they had a lot of fun. They went to the dances, especially the younger ones at the clubhouse there. They had dances. I think it cost them a quarter to get in for the dance. And they had the band down there, and it was fun for them. And of course, the boys at the, for the club, before I'm jumping from one subject to the other, the boys from the at the clubhouse too, I talked about the girls having the sewing and that, and the boys had crafts too. They had a workshop which was located in the basement, and they made like benches and things, but they did woodwork, and they learned to do that there. And so they had exhibits for them. And then of course we had our wonderful basketball team, the state that came in first. Mm-hmm. And most of those boys were from Lincoln Place, and I understand one of the fellas that was really, really helped win the games, the state championship. I understand he got his first pair of gym shoes for the clubhouse there from this Miss Braether that was in charge of the place there. And the girls also had a basketball team. They had a club. My sister, one of them was on, one or two of them was on the team there too. But I don't know that they played with anybody else, but I do remember them being on the team and that. And so it was just, it was wonderful. I meet a lot of friends, and we all say how happy we are that we grew up down there. We didn't have the money, but we had more than other people had, that whose parents did have jobs and that didn't go through the depression like we did. And I can remember, I have a picture of myself as a child in school with a sweater that in my dress that didn't even look like it was ironed, which it was, you know, because I have memories of no electricity. I can remember not having any electricity at home. And I can remember when they turned it on. I remember my mother's first electric iron, which my sister used, my oldest sister, because Mom was working. But I can remember with a yellow handle, that was the first electric iron. I can remember the first refrigerator, because we had the old ice box type where you bring a block of ice. And Mr. Nomoff used to come with his truck and give us ice. And he'd chip a piece off for the kids that were out there in the summertime. He'd chip a piece of ice off to give to us. I can remember having to empty that pan under this ice box from the drippings from the ice, you know. And having a stove that was down to our kitchen. We got the electric iron when we were in those three rooms we lived in, that shotgun house. And I could still see us heating the irons before that on the coal stove to do the ironing. I can remember that. And I don't know who has our irons, but and my father repairing our shoes, putting half soles on our shoes. I think he bought them for a nickel or a dime, and he shaved them. I have a kit downstairs of a shoe kit like that, repairs with the different sizes of shoes. And he gave haircuts. I can remember people coming over, men coming over, and he'd give a haircut too. And he also made us root beer. My dad didn't make beer, but he did make root beer. I have a bottle capper downstairs that put the caps on, Ben, you know. And I have one of those too. And that I bought at a yard sale somewhere, because I don't know what dad. When you're moving, you just get rid of things because you think you don't need these anymore, you know. And my shoe kit that I have was my father-in-law's. And I have that. But my sister, my younger sister, has the one that my mother and dad had. And I can remember moving. I can remember moving two times. Before we lived in this shotgun house, we lived right next door. Oh, we loved it. Like I say, though, being the youngest, it didn't matter to me, but it did to my sisters. And we were living in a house a sharp time, and somebody bought it. We were renting. So we moved just right next door into this shotgun house. And then from there, after my sisters had gotten married, three of them got married. Then my mom and dad bought another house, and that was on Maple Street, and so that was good. But our kitchens were in the basement. A lot of the homes there in Lincoln Place had kitchens in the basement. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It seems very unusual.
Yes, there was nothing upstairs, no sinks or anything. You know, you didn't have a kitchen upstairs. It was in the basement, and it was a big kitchen. And you had the furnace room and the coal room. Mm-hmm. And when we moved there, that was really good, because I felt like, oh boy, this is an improvement, you know, from the others. And when you're young like that too, and you're going to high school, you get kind of a little bit embarrassed that you don't have things that you'd like to have. And you really shouldn't be, because our parents were good to us. My mother was a very loving person. She never cursed. She never talked about anyone. My father was good to us. He never laid a hand on us. All he had to do was look at us. And we knew then, you know, it was either kind of slow down a little bit or, you know. I can remember my sister having a date. And the guy was, well, again, we lived in the shotgun house. There was no place to entertain but in the kitchen. And you can see with four other sisters there trying to entertain a fella, you know. And this fella came to the house, and he blew the horn out wanting her to come out. And my sister's grabbing her coat. She's getting ready to go out. My father says, "Where are you going?" And she says, "Oh, she's my date's here." She says, "I'm going, you know, I'm leaving now." He says, "Sit down, take your coat off." And so the guy honks the horn again. And she's getting upset. She's thinking, if I don't come out, he's going to leave. And so she can't go out. So finally my father goes out and she goes, oh my gosh, my father's going out. He's going to leave. He's not going to come back in. Because my father could be the kind, he could be like, say, you better not do this, or, you know, you just didn't. But anyway, he goes out. And my sister's waiting inside. And